Greetings, folks. Welcome back to my little corner of the library. Today on the show, we're going to be taking a little bit of a break from discussing an individual work of literature, and instead, we're going to be discussing the life and career of one of the most prolific illustrators history has ever seen. You might not know his name, you might not know much about his life, but I'm fairly willing to bet that at some point, you've seen his work. My name's Dan, this is Bookworm History, and today, we're discussing the life and career of Gustave Doré. Louis-Auguste Gustave Doré was born on January 6, 1832, in Strasbourg, a French town on the German border. From a very early age, some stories say as early as age 5, he was able to draw fantastic pictures with minute details from memory, and to do so remarkably quickly. Some stories say that he would often draw his school assignments rather than actually write them out. Although he wasn't just an accomplished artist, he was also a very talented violinist, acrobat, tenor, mountain climber, you name it. Doré's talent, even from a young age, seemed limitless. A lot of this annoyed his engineer father, who wanted him to give up all this artistic malarkey and become an engineer like him. Doré's first big break would come in 1847, when he was visiting Paris with his family. Walking down the streets, they passed the publishing house Aubert, where they had several illustrations, comic illustrations, displayed in their windows. Later in the trip, Doré's family went out for an excursion, but the young Gustave said he was sick. However, as soon as his family was out of sight, Doré was up like a shot, out the door, down the street, and into the offices of Aubert, where he marched right in to the office of head publisher Charles Philippon. Doré told him in no uncertain terms that the illustrations he was displaying in his front window were absolute crap, and here, he said, handing him several illustrations that he had done, was how illustrations are supposed to look. Philippon didn't believe a thing Doré said. He absolutely refused to believe that the illustrations he was being handed, which were fantastic, could possibly have been done by a 15-year-old kid, much less one who had never taken an art lesson in his life. Doré refused to let up, however, and Philippon said, "Okay, if you can do this, draw something for me right now." Doré drew several things for Philippon, who, in his disbelief, ran out of the office and called every employee he had in the building back into his office so that they could witness Doré's remarkable talent and lightning speed. Philippon knew that he needed this young boy on his artistic staff, and later, once Doré's family returned home, negotiated with the elder Doré for Gustave to come to work for him. Well, his father was really none too pleased about all of this, but ultimately they agreed on terms. Doré, being a minor, would only produce per contract one illustration a week, although his work ethic actually caused him to produce significantly more than that, as well as having Philippon enroll Doré at school and arrange lodgings for him. Doré's father passed away the following year, 1847, but at that point Doré, thanks to his prodigious work ethic, was producing and creating enough to support his entire family, whom he moved to Paris to stay with him. The following year, at age 17, Doré was the highest paid comic illustrator in the entire nation of France. Doré would begin the transition from comic illustrator to literary illustrator in 1851. His illustrations of Rabelais in 1853, or Honoré de Balzac's droll stories in 1855, would really start to begin this transition. It was during this period that Doré would first be published by Hachette, a prestigious French publisher who would later handle all of his literary engravings. In 1856, he published engravings of The Tale of the Wandering Jew, which would really start to give you a sense of Doré's future abilities. Doré wished more than anything to be accepted and acknowledged as a serious artist by the French art community. But alas, it was not to be. A little bit of it was his own doing. At age 19, he published a book that he had written and illustrated called Three Artists, Misunderstood Malcontents. In it, three artists struggle against the French art community to be understood and accepted, ultimately failing. At age 19, Doré was probably just poking fun, lashing out the way any teenager does, but the art community didn't really take it all that well, especially the art critics and other artists that he was kind of poking fun at. It probably didn't help that even as a teenager, Doré was more popular and certainly more well-paid than any of the artists or critics he was poking fun at. For the rest of his career, especially as far as his paintings were concerned, Doré would never really be considered more than a silly illustrator within the French art world. In 1861, Doré had his first major success as an illustrator with his plates of Dante's Inferno. And it was truly a labor of love for Doré. He had worked on this set of engravings for 5 years, hand-picking all of his engravers and in some cases even training them himself. Despite being a very popular and in-demand illustrator, Doré really couldn't find a publisher willing to take a chance on his Inferno engravings. They were either too classy, or he had produced too much and the book would be too expensive, or it just wouldn't work. It was unlike anything that anyone had ever published before, so no publisher was willing to take a chance on it. Doré went back to his old publishing pal, Louis Hatchett, and said that he would be willing to pay for the publication out of his own pocket if only Hatchett would be willing to take a chance. Hatchett was reluctant, and even the first edition, you can see his pessimism. Out of the 1,000 copies that they originally printed, Hatchett only actually bound 100 of them for sale. As soon as the book hit the shelves, however, Hatchett was quickly proven wrong. Sending a hurried, excited telegram to Doré saying, "Success! Come quickly! I am an ass!" Hatchett proved that Doré had really arrived as a serious illustrator and a serious artist. He would follow up the Inferno with Perrault's Fairy Tales and the Adventures of Baron Munchausen, as well as his landmark set of illustrations for Don Quixote, which would hit the market in 1864. Don Quixote would also be the first set of works that Doré would have published in England, a country that would instantly take a shine to anything and everything that Doré produced, whether it was engravings, sculpture, or especially his paintings. The Doré Gallery, a space in London for the exhibition of all things Doré, would open in the spring of 1868, originally just for a 5-month exhibition. It would remain open for 23 years. Such was the popularity of Gustave Doré in England. Doré would continue to crank out literary illustrations throughout the 1860s, including such works as his incredibly famous set on the Bible, Milton's Paradise Lost, as well as rounding off his work on the Divine Comedy with his publication of Purgatorio and Paradiso. The 1870s would see Doré shying away a bit from literary illustration, concentrating more on sculpture and painting, although he would still produce some engravings, including a mammoth set of works, a sort of Victorian travelogue, if you will, called London, A Pilgrimage, in 1872, as well as my personal favorite of his, The Rime of the Ancient Mariner, in 1876. One major event that had a profound effect on both Doré's life and his work was the Franco-Prussian War. Although he really wasn't a big fan of Napoleon III, he was nonetheless a staunch French patriot, and when war would break out in 1870, he would produce several works that were sort of rallying cry for French spirit. But things quickly took a turn, and by September of 1870, Prussian troops had the entire city of Paris surrounded. Doré would remain within the city throughout the entire 10 months of the siege of Paris as well as the following commune. After the war, Doré remained incredibly bitter at the Germans, who had ceded the Alsace-Lorraine province away from France, which included Doré's hometown of Strasbourg. He vowed he would never visit a German Strasbourg, and for the rest of his life, never returned home. Doré never did marry, although he moved within the creme de la creme of French society and was involved with several women, most notably actress Sarah Bernhardt and famous opera singer Adelina Patti. Doré passed away on January 23, 1883, at the age of 51. Leaving behind a truly staggering body of work in just about every medium conceivable. His last sculpture, unveiled only after he died, was a Paris monument to his good friend Alexander Dumas. His final set of engravings would be of Edgar Allan Poe's chilling poem, The Raven. Although whether Gustave Doré actually completed the engravings, or whether publishers just picked up what he had done and published them in his name, we're not really sure. The engravings are wonderful, but they do have this sort of eerie, gray, unfinished kind of look to them, and while they suit the poem perfectly, they do leave a little bit of ambiguity as far as whether they are the final version of what Doré would have wanted. That's what we've got for you today. As always, we have just scratched the surface of the complicated and fascinating story of one of the 19th century's best and most famous illustrators. If you are interested and want more information, I would highly recommend you check out Gustave Doré, A Biography by Dan Mallon. It contains an unbelievable amount of research, not only into Doré's life, but also into his works and the editions that he produced. Be sure to check out the Bookworm History website. That's kind of the center of all of the content that we put out. You'll find our YouTube episodes up there. You'll also find several interesting and unusual stories and articles. We recently just completed a piece on Charles Coypel and the Gobelins Don Quixote tapestries that were produced in France in the 17th century. We've also started doing a podcast, which you can find either at the Bookworm History website or by going to iTunes and searching Bookworm History. I do hope you enjoyed it. If you did, be sure to hit that subscribe button on your way out so you stay up to date on all of our latest episodes. Enjoy the rest of your day, and thanks for stopping by. I think it's one of my all-time favorite telegrams, and I realize that sounds like a weird thing to say, but I honestly believe that it's true, possibly second only to Victor Hugo's exchange with his publisher after Les Miserables had come out. Hugo telegrammed his publisher with just a question mark, to which his publisher replied simply with an exclamation point.